Good evening. Welcome to our series on the laws of life. Tonight, we're using the tarot to explore the question, what is the divine law of rhythm, and how can aspirants best harness it? And I shuffled the cards and laid them out, and we have the following spread you can see on the screen, if I would allow you to. Yes. Should be coming up in 2 or 3 seconds. The starting point is the Queen of Swords, right side up. The counterpoint is the Knight of Pentacles, right side up. The challenge is the Two of Cups, right side up. The purpose is the Wheel of Fortune, upside down. The endowment is the Four of Rods, right side up. The destiny is the Empress, right side up. Then we come to, the Empress is number 3 in the Major Arcana. The Wheel of Fortune was number 10, which makes it a 1. We come to the Pillar of Revelation. The real question is the 6 of Swords, upside down. The Hidden Dimensions, the Unseen Forces, the Sun, upside down. Number 19 in the Major Arcana, or a 1. The Spiritual Ideal is the Queen of Cups, upside down. And the culmination or fulfillment is the Ace of Cups, upside down. So, we have 5 right-side-up cards and 5 reverse cards in a very interesting pattern in that all 4 of the Pillar of Revelation are upside down, as well as the bottom one down here, the Wheel of Fortune. All of the first 5 cards, 5 of the first 6 cards forming this upper part here are right-side-up. So, the idea that the upside-down cards represent the inner esoteric aspect of things, and the first represents what the law means to us, is relevant. We have 3 majors, being the Wheel of Fortune, the Empress, and the Sun. We have 2 swords, being the first and the, the first in the first section and the first in the second section. The Queen of Swords being the first card of all, and the 6 of Swords being the real question. We have 1 rod, the 4 of Rods. We have 3 cups, all of them in the upper portion of the spread. In other words, the 2 of Cups, the Queen of Cups, and the Ace of Cups. We have 1 pentacle, that being the Knight of Pentacles. And so, with this in mind, let me begin. This is, I'm going to see where I can get all this in. Very, very important law, the law of rhythm. I want to start with the third card, the 2 of Cups. And the 2 of Cups is just almost a complete book all in and of itself. We have the man and the woman bringing their cups together. If you were looking from above, bird's eye view, you would see the cups forming an infinity sign. And this is the male and female elements coming together to create a complete unity. So, rhythm has a lot to do with duality. And in fact, it is rhythm that controls duality, or duality that expresses rhythm, something like that. And it immediately brings to mind the ticking of a clock. Tick, tock, tick, tock. You remember where that's from?
Babylon.
Babylon 5, when Sheridan, near the end of the series, goes to Zahadum and dies in a fall, except that he doesn't die. He's found by one of the Ancient of Ancients, a very old man, and who says that, it's up to Sheridan to decide whether he's dead or not. It's a question of tick, you're alive, talk, you're dead. And you're caught halfway in between, and you got to figure this out. Of course, the caught halfway in between would be another way of expressing equilibrium. So the whole concept of time is one of the ways that we try to describe the law of rhythm. Time is one of the laws, one of the outpicturings of the law of rhythm. On a broader scale than hour to hour, second to second, it's the seasons and the movements of the world, the tides. All of these things are outpicturing of the law of rhythm. And if we can begin studying these things and see them in the larger cycles, which are outpicturings of, you guessed it, the law of rhythm, then we can begin to understand some very important things about this. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Are you in control? Are you out of control? Are you halfway in between? So not only does the tick and the tock describe the pairs of opposites, the duality of life here on Earth, it also implies the solution or the control of it, and that is that as you establish equilibrium between the tick and the tock, that equilibrium gives you creative control over the duality and over the very forces of life, the rhythmic patterns of life. And we know from our esoteric studies that life begins with involution. It bottoms out, falls to its death in Zadum, and then it begins the return, which is the evolution. And through that, there's long periods of growth. And at every stage, the key to understanding this is to recognize the equilibrium that exists between the pairs of opposites. Not the compromise, not the middle ground, but the golden mean, the equilibrium, the definition of excellence. Okay, so we'll come back to this, but I wanted to start there and set the tone with that challenge. Because without understanding the challenge, we can't really understand the process of attuning to the rhythms and harnessing the law of rhythm. So let's go back to the starting point here, the Queen of Swords. And the Queen of Swords is a majestic woman, and her hair flowing down and around and through, and she's got her sword out to do battle with that ancient evil, the residue of ancient evil down in the lower right-hand corner. And she's got these five flowers. And notice in this series of three, from the Four of Rods to the Queen of Swords to the Empress, there are flowers and wheat. There are flowers in the first two and wheat. And the flowers are, it's very easy to observe the law of rhythm in flowers. We take seeds, we plant them. They grow through the summer and they become beautiful or fruitful, as the case may be. And then they their cycle ends, but it creates new seeds, and not only do most of the flowers return the next spring and reappear, but also their seeds grow new appearances. So this is the rhythms of the seasons, the rhythms, and everything on the planet is governed by these rhythms, which are outpicturings of the law of rhythm. The law of rhythm is... one way of looking at this is from our study of the light of the soul, the light within us. We know from the sutras of Patanjali that he likes to talk about the modifications of the mind and the need of the aspiring devotee to control the modifications of the mind. Well, the modifications of the mind are like the atoms of thought, the little sparks of thought, and they generate our rhythm. Now, since we're here with a certain amount of awareness and self-awareness and can think, if we ever bother to do it, we are able to control these modifications. We create a certain awareness of the reality around us. And so the we are either in tune with the innate rhythm of these modifications, or we end up being controlled by them. And so, for example, as we grow up through our childhood, we come under the sway of the basic principles of mass consciousness as set forth in our race and our religious background and so on. And there are certain things we pick up intuitively without even, or instinctively, without ever thinking about them. We are overpowered by the strength of these modifications. But we could learn to control them. We could learn to bring them under the control of the law of rhythm. And as we develop mental skills and strengthen the mind to do this, we discover that there are all kinds of ideal rhythms that exist in archetypal form, above the mean, in the level of spirit. And we can harness these rhythms with spiritual maturity, which is what the Queen of Swords represents, and use them to imbue the intelligence of our system, our own physical body, our emotional body, our mental body, and the world around us, with rhythm. In the process of doing this, we instill order and we gain control. So the law of rhythm is our basic tool for self-control, for learning that we can control the system. When we are first born, we can control almost nothing. We're dependent upon our mother for food. We can't control our elimination of bodily waste. We can't even diaper ourselves. We have no self-control. But gradually through the years as we grow up, we learn to control our elimination and control all different kinds of things. Usually we leave our breathing and our heartbeat to automatic performances or automatic processes. But the point is that the Queen of Swords represents the capacity of the soul to control the rhythms of our life. And once the personality and the soul in cooperation learn to establish the law of rhythm, the divine law of rhythm in what we do, not the automatic things like breathing, but in the way we interact with mass consciousness, the way we deal with our friends, the way we approach our work, then we start to impose a rhythm on our life. And that rhythm gives us a tremendous set of talents for controlling the process of death, for controlling our health, controlling our talents and opportunities. It's virtually unlimited, the scope of what the gifted aspirant can learn to do. Now, I don't want to spend all my time talking about this. There is an unlimited number of talents and skills that can be developed in this way, and that's what I want to hit on here. The rhythm, the law of rhythm, is the way that spirit imposes order in our system. And this is working with the basic intelligence of life. In specific, since this is the Queen of Swords, and we can look over here and see the Empress, and we can look ahead and see the Queen of Cups, it seems pretty likely here that in working with the law of rhythm, we're activating the feminine aspect of our character, our receptivity. The Empress really emphasizes this, as well as the Ace of Cups and the Queen of Cups. The idea of receptivity, the idea that there is a divine plan And there are divine rhythms, and we need to attune ourselves to these. We don't go out and create our own rhythm. We march to the sound of a different drummer. A statement by Thoreau. We don't march to the beat of worldly wisdom. We march to the sound of a different drummer, which happens to be the rhythm of the soul. All right? And in that way, rhythm organizes our system. And I've got a passage here from DK that I want to read, because I can't duplicate it any better than he wrote it. I would like to deal, first of all, with the basic premise that disease and physical liabilities are not the result of wrong thought. They are far more likely to be the result of no thought at all, or are caused by the failure to follow the fundamental laws which govern the mind of God, that being the law of rhythm. All right, that pretty much sets it right out here, that patterns of bad health, patterns of poor timing, patterns of stumbling around, getting nothing done, being unable to organize opportunities or missing them flat out, all of it's caused by an absence of thought, the lack of intelligent of an intelligent relationship with the soul. The soul knows all this. If we establish a strong relationship with the soul via the Anacharana, via the simple process of breath, then we can be in tune with the rhythms of the souls. We can of the soul. We can learn to embody those in the body. Now, the breath is the great symbol of this, although you don't use deep breathing exercises. You simply recognize that the soul is constantly throughout your life breathing in new life and vitality, and at the same time, you're meant to exhale through your normal breathing all the debris and baggage and garbage and whatnot that you drag around with you. Rose and I watched the movie The Mission last night, which came up in the first day of Walden Ultra, because I played a piece of music from the score. And it's this wonderful, wonderful part of the movie. It's a strange movie, but very powerful. And Rodrigo, who has killed his brother, is looking for penance. And he decides that his penance is to... He gets this tremendous ball of armor and armor plate and swords and cups and all different kinds of things. Wraps it all up in a ball and puts it in a netting. And this is about 5 feet wide in circumference, this ball. And he drags it with him as he goes with the priest, the Jesuit who is offering him penance, to return to the mission way up in the hills of Brazil. And this means taking this equipage with him through rapids, climbing up hills, up mudslides, almost impossible. And it's like Sisyphus rolling the boulder up the hill, only to have it roll back down at the end of the day, and he has to do it over and over and over again. This guy, determined to work off his penance, does this against all kinds of odds and danger. And it's exactly what most humans do. They carry their baggage with them. They carry their sins, their sense of shame, their sense of wrongdoing. And, of course, in the process of learning to impose some kind of rhythm and order on that, we end up organizing that, and it becomes this neat little pattern down here in the corner of the Queen of Swords, the residue of ancient evil. And a quick survey of all these cards indicates that this is the only card in the whole display that comes up with that very common image from this tarot deck.
Six of Swords has some.
Six of Swords. Okay, at the bottom of his cloak. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a tad of that. So rhythm is the primary use of our intelligence to organize the intelligent substance of form. And we begin to look around and realize that everything in life is based on intelligent form, intelligent substance. And through the proper rhythm, the proper pace, and the development of poise and equilibrium and dealing with the pairs of opposites, we can impose our patterns, not just our patterns, but divine patterns, upon bad habits, wrong health procedures or grooves, and we can gradually imbue our personal life with these divine rhythms. That's what this law is all about. Okay, we go on then to the second card, the counterpoint, which is the Knight of Pentacles, and he's in this suit of armor, very much like what the guy last night, Rodrigo, was trying to drag up the hill in penance. And the Knight of Pentacles represents the journeyman on the spiritual path who has achieved control of the physical body. That's why you don't see the horse, except for this little tough, he's riding a horse, but that's irrelevant. So this is the active part of this formula. We must attune ourselves to the ideal rhythms of life and then impose them. We must, first of all, learn to cooperate with them by planting. The farmer learns this in planting crops and harvesting them. We must learn, the business person learns this, in terms of understanding the business cycles and the economic cycles. And so human beings are constantly learning this stuff. One of the great sources of learning the lessons of rhythm is, of course, music. Because if we learn to listen to the music of the angels and of divine life, we can enrich ourselves almost directly with these perfect rhythms and patterns. Tomorrow night, our local poetry group is presenting a collection of cowboy poems, and one of them, I can tell you, you're all welcome to come if you can make it by tomorrow night. One of them is called Old Red Saloon. I think that's the title of it. Anyway, it's Old Red Saloon is basically a whorehouse, but it's back in the Old West, and it has a piano and a piano player, and it talks about how, as the cowboy goes back out on the trail, he finds himself with snatches of song that he heard at Old Red Saloon, the piano player. And he takes this with him, and for as much as a week, it'll constantly go through his mind, and he hums the tune, and he sings the words or whatever. And this is the power of music. It's a funny little poem, but it's the power of music that we take with us as we go through life. And through that, we learn about rhythms, we impose those rhythms on our life. So the idea here is somehow at intuitive levels we hear a song of life, the song of the angels, the song of the soul, whatever it might be, and we learn to hum it. And as we hum it, and we're actually imposing grooves of consciousness into our very personality, into our being. And we're organizing it in terms of the rhythms of life. So the rhythms are, in some sense, a call of destiny. It's, I think this is symbolized effectively by the Six of Swords, where he's impelling his boat to go forward to the other side. He's got a goal in mind. Because we understand, as we understand some of the purposes of divine life and why we're here, we're better able to interact with the seeming dualities of life, the seeming contradictions of life, and harmonize them, establish equilibrium, poise. That's the purpose of rhythm. And that's why the law of rhythm is one of the most intelligent laws of all of life, because it eventually becomes something that we control with our own mind and put our own imprint on the rhythms of life. Okay, so we've got our point and counterpoint. Now we come up to the challenge, which I've already talked about, but this time around I want to mention and emphasize the idea of poise and equilibrium. It is not just a case of seeing eye to eye, it's a question of joining together the creation of infinity out of the two separate cups. And so we're constantly looking for the talk that answers tick. Tick, talk. And that establishes the rhythm. We need that pace, we need that rhythm in order to be able to create a sequence of events in life. And as we come into harmony with that equilibrium, we recognize that our true source of health and vitality is the soul. Most of the problems, if not all of the problems that we run into of a health nature, are simply allowing our environment to overwhelm us, whether it's a case that we get a toxic poison from working in the coal mines, or whether it's a case of being hypersensitive to allergies or toxins in the atmosphere. The problem here is that we're out of balance, and we need to reestablish rhythm so that all of our systems operate according to plan. Okay, then we come down to the Wheel of Fortune, the fourth card here, which is our card of purpose. And of course, this is fairly self-explanatory in this spread, in this position. The Wheel of Fortune is the cosmic law of rhythm. And the source of our ideal rhythms here on Earth is to be found in the soul. The source of the soul's ideal rhythms is to be found in the planetary patterns, archetypal patterns that we work with. The source of planetary rhythm for the planetary patterns is to be found in the energies of the zodiac. And so we're a life within a life within a life within a life. And the source of our rhythm and the source of all rhythm is ultimately the origin of our being. And so we need to understand that through the rhythms of life, even through time and the beating of our heart and the breathing of our lungs, we are linked in a vast chain of connections to greater rhythms. So we should never think of ourselves as a victim. The victim is somebody that doesn't have any control over his rhythms or her rhythms. It also means that we, well, let me put it this way. We gain control of the rhythms of life by developing the mind and learning to trace them back to these sources. If we're able to trace in our mind back to and see that what just happened to us yesterday is symptomatic of what happens to everybody in cancer, well, then we're beginning to build a zodiac within us, a miniature zodiac that within our consciousness that reflects the greater zodiac, and then we are able to establish a measure of acceptance, but also equilibrium, where what everything we do is in harmony with and in conjunction with the larger purposes and plans. Part of this is understanding that our life is affected by the larger life in which we live and move and have our being, and it's affected by the larger life in which it lives and moves and has our being. And so we need to work with the rhythms of those larger lives. We have, therefore, unlimited access to the rhythms of life, to the basic song of creation, if you wish. And the key is establishing a sense of equilibrium with it. If you confront some situation in your life and you're overwhelmed by it, that's not equilibrium. And when you try to hurry through and get something done because you have a deadline, that's not equilibrium. You're throwing your sense of pace and rhythm to, it's like, you know, deciding that you're going to play the minute waltz in 45 seconds. That's not the inner rhythm. The inner rhythm is a minute. That's why it's called a minute waltz. Okay, I'm going to unmute here. Any comments and questions before I go on? Anybody? Oh, sorry about that. I hit the wrong thing. Okay, now if you were trying to talk, I can actually hear you. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. The Burrow. Yes, the Grand Canyon Suite. All music teaches us about rhythm. And it's a self-contained system. And we live in a self-contained system that by working with these rhythmic pulses of life, which we can interact with and control mentally because they are the pulses of the substance of intelligence, we're able to gain control. Other comments or questions?
Carl?
Yes.
I've found that as I look back and just have studied music seriously, that, for example, it's very powerful that the smart band, while I was in grade school, they used to take us to the rehearsals, one rehearsal was Cincinnati, so we worked in the other one was Los Angeles. And I can still, to me, it was a powerful experience of that was Schoenberg, Pierre Meter, known for buying.
Yes, and music is meant to have that kind of impact upon the human consciousness. We are meant to learn to vibrate, if you wish, in tune with the TikTok, the rhythm, the basic pace of music, and then adopt the corollary, which is we let our physical system vibrate in tune with the inherent rhythm of health, and we let our financial pursuits and our needs resonate with the ideal rhythm of abundance, and we learn to respond through resonance to the inner blessings of the soul. Music teaches us all this, and music is one of the great attributes of rhythm, obviously. Okay, any other comments or questions? Rose, did you have something?
Yeah. In Labors of Hercules, now I'm not quite sure when she wrote that, but Alice talks about us having Piscean bodies that are trying to vibrate to the Aquarian age. And I mean, she says there is tremendous speed in every department of life, and that's why we're so all strung up.
Right.
And strung I mean, out. Everything, she said strung up.
All right.
But I mean, everything is moving just so, so fast. And, you know, you are trying to keep up and all of that.
Well, this is the adjustment. This is the rhythm of adjustment, of the rhythm of the cusp. We're between the Piscean Age and the Aquarian Age.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty much into the Aquarian Age now. But yes, our bodies are under a great deal of stress, but only because we aren't aware, we aren't approaching the transition intelligently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing for the aspirant. The aspirant does a lot of work, becomes much more responsive to the soul, and then initiates a period where it's like the soul's beating the crap out of you. And nothing like that's happening at all. It's just that you're opening up and becoming sensitive, and you haven't learned to incorporate the real rhythms of the soul. So that's why the law of rhythm is so important, especially to the aspirant. Absolutely. Anybody else?
Carl, I was thinking of that little video that I used in my classroom, that Donald in Math Magic Land.
Right.
And, you know, when they got into the music and Pythagorean theory with the universe is built on octaves or on rhythmic movements. And
sure.
I mean, it's big. Yeah. I mean, I can't say I understand it all, but I think I see a correlation anyway.
Well, that's a very good correlation. Okay, I want to go on then. And we're now up to the crossbar here and the endowment, the four of rods, which is four rods and decorated in a festive, almost like there's a celebration or a special day. And in the distance is the castle on the other side of the moat. And or the river. And so again, this is a case of there's what is immediate in our life, and then there's what is further along and our goal. And it's like if you have 100 miles to travel and you have 10 days to travel it, you can establish a rhythm of 10 miles a day. That's imposing rhythm on reaching your goal. But if you don't understand what your goal is, then you're going to have a hard time establishing a rhythm. If you don't know from whence life sprung, creation sprung, you're going to have a hard time establishing creation. These things blend together. What we're talking about here is the use of the mind to focus on the goal. And so, for example, in our current stage in American history, some of us are aware of the spirit of America and understand that the spirit of America has a rhythm and a pace and goals of its own, and we can either work with them or we can work against them. To be an agent of the spirit of America means understanding its goal, its vision, as articulated by Reagan, the city of God, the city of light on the hill. And if we have the proper goals, we can work with the proper rhythm. If we never get around to establishing a firm goal, we're kind of at sea. We're lost. It's like if you're a rat running in a maze, it doesn't matter whether you have rhythm or not because you don't have any goal. I guess your goal is to find a way to jump out of it and be free. But the idea here is, and this is a powerful idea, I think, our life, human life, the life of creation, God's life, is all set up to facilitate our achievement of the goal. The goal happens to be set by God. We can have our own personal goals, but they simply distract us from learning to work in harmony with the divine goal. But if we don't have a sense of where we're heading, where we came from, and where we're heading, it's very difficult to establish a rhythm because we have no starting point or finishing point. So even though these points may be abstract and relative, we still need to understand that rhythm is the process by which we get there. The next card over is the Empress, and this is the card of destiny. And, of course, the Empress is the feminine aspect wrapped in a cloak with symbols of wheat and femininity. And she's got an electric fire for a crown. And this is the principle of intelligence. This is divine intelligence. The principle of receptivity. And it is the notion here of we need to develop our intuition, which is a feminine aspect of the mind, to become aware of how everything in life reveals its innate rhythm. The weather reveals innate rhythms, the cycles of business, as I mentioned earlier, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, even light and dark reveal a rhythm day and night. And so we have to become more attuned to this and learn to use our intuition to create a responsive vibration to rhythm. Again, the example I used earlier was out of the zodiac within. Well, we can create all different kinds of systems of response to the idea of rhythm for blessing, the idea of rhythm for our health. This is a practical way of harnessing this factor of humanity. In our first session of One and Ultra last week, we studied the famous speech from Shakespeare, The Seven Stages of Man. You start out as a baby that spends its day puking in its crib, and you end up as an old man doing much the same, sans teeth, sans hair, sans... Well, sans everything except bad breath. Sans everything. And Shakespeare elucidates the seven stages of human behavior. Well, every one of these things here is an attempt to establish and discern rhythm. And the more we understand that life itself is rhythmic and cyclic and is that way for a purpose, the quicker we can see the meaning of the intelligence. One of the things I want to point out here is that this very reading itself is a demonstration of the law of rhythm. After all, the premise of the tarot is that I can shuffle it, I can sort the cards through, I formulate a question which gives us focus, the focus of the four of rods, and then I lay out a spread of 10 cards chosen off the top of the deck. I can't say at random because I'm using a deck of cards. And there's nothing random about it. But how does divine intelligence manage to get the very cards that convey the meaning that we're seeking? It happens because of rhythm. See, everything is intelligent. Everything is imbued with the intelligence represented by the Empress. And so I can lay this spread out here, and I can move from card to card. There's probably no card more perfect for this particular question in the creative challenge spot than the Two of Cups. As I said, I could go on for hours and hours. I'll fill a whole book with comments about that card. The point is that there's this relationship between spirit and form is a creation of spirit. And therefore, it's infused with divine rhythms. And it's those divine rhythms that organize intelligence. So it's one or the other, maybe both. The cards are picked because they're the best cards to convey this truth. Or it's my own intelligence that's somehow being ordered to see the meaning in these cards. It doesn't really matter which way it is. I think it's a combination of both. But we've been blessed with a mind that is able to respond to that intelligence, discern these patterns, create order from them, and from that order distill meaning. And as DK suggested, the antithesis of that is ignorance. We just don't bother to think. When somebody says, well, I don't understand the tarot, it doesn't make any sense to me. How can your higher self communicate with your personality through a deck of cards? Well, it should be abundantly clear to anybody listening to this, but it's not abundantly clear to the person who has never thought about it. And so this is the key to the law of rhythm. The law of rhythm influences every facet of human life, and yet we believe in random occurrences. We believe in luck. We believe in good fortune. None of that is. Those are the fictions of life. Those are the strained kinds of things. So I just wanted to point that out, that this, the ability to even do a tarot is a fulfillment of the law of rhythm. There's these 10 stations, and we lay out the cards and we put together a creative answer and an insight into divine life. This brings us then to the real question, the Six of Swords upside down. A fellow guiding a boat across the water, with the swords serving as a dynamo. And we can learn to use rhythm to let us do something as seemingly impossible as power our boat across a choppy lake. And there's the idea here of the competent skill. The mind is directing the boat. But this is again the equilibrium of the pair of opposites, because the water on one side is choppy, the water on the other side is calm. And he's the one establishing equilibrium, and from that, creating a tick-tock, tick-tock, which empowers the boat and impels it forward. And the law of life here that applies is ask and it shall be given you. Seek and it will manifest. So we need to study the inner workings of these laws, especially the rhythms of life, so that we can tap the power within it. We were watching the news tonight, and they had a segment where Karl Rove and Joe Tribbe were talking about the status of the presidential election, and both of them were saying, but especially Rove was saying, well, Obama thought that he was only going to have to spend money in 3 or 4 swing states, and the success of the Romney campaign is that he's forcing him to spend lots and lots of money in 9 states, and the expectation is that Michigan will by next week be in play, and Obama will be forced to do it, spend a gob of money there, and he's not making any ground. So in spite of all the analysis to the contrary in the popular press, these two consultants, one a Democrat and one a Republican, pointed out that Romney is actually doing very, very well, and he's impelling the boat of his campaign across the choppy waters of a turbulent election cycle, and it's not a question of is he making progress or not. It's a question of what damage is this doing to the campaign of the incumbent. And the implication was pretty strong that it's fairly serious. So again, it's the question of being aware of the inner rhythms that give meaning to things, not the outer appearances. So the real question is, ask and it shall be given you. Don't limit yourself. Don't look at the narrow parameters of life. Look ahead to where you're heading. Look far into the future. In the proper question for a 19-year-old is not what you're going to do with your life. The proper question, if we could ask it and answer it, is what are you going to be doing 10 lifetimes from now? And how does this lifetime lead you there? That would be a useful use of intelligence. All right, moving along then to the unseen forces. We have the sun, which is a bright orange globe, cheerful, smiling, and a book down at the base, the Book of Life. And this is a card representing enlightenment. And it's pretty straightforward here. The unseen factor here is the soul, is spirit. You don't go outside and ask a tree to teach you about rhythm, although you certainly could learn a lot from a tree. But you ask the soul. This is all a top-down proposition. We attune ourselves to the inner impulses coming at us, and unless we know the end result, and unless we understand that the soul provides all, we're not going to be able to attune with the proper rhythm. It's as simple as that. The proper rhythms of life all derive from the soul. It knows the perfect rhythm. It is incumbent upon us to try to figure it out and then try to live in that rhythm. Y'all remember the Christmas Carol, good King Wenceslas, he goes out and one of his servants has gone out and with him and to go bring wood to a peasant that doesn't have any wood and Christmas food and stuff. It's an errand of mercy. And they go out, and on the way back, the storm gets worse and worse and worse. The snow is building up, and the servant that has gone with him is getting fatigued, and Wenceslas is afraid he's just going to drop by the side and die. And so he says, follow me and step in my footsteps. You may not have the strength to get back, but if you step in my footsteps, I will break the wind and the snow, and you will get some of the warmth left by me in the melting footprints. And you won't have to crunch through the snow. And in that way, they get safely back to the castle or wherever they came from. And so it's the servant learning to step in his master's footprints. This is the way we learn the law of rhythm. We let the soul overshadow us, shine through us, teach us the lessons, and we do this joyfully and willingly. We don't regret the fact that we have this problem. We simply ask the soul, I'm all ears, teach me, lead me. Let me follow you in your footsteps, in your footprints. The next card is in the sequence is the Queen of Cups. We end with two cups. These are not referring so much to the emotions here, because the emotions are what go off and deceive us into abandoning the rhythms of the soul. This is much more the principle enunciated in the Empress card, the principle of receptivity. And the Queen of Cups especially is the capacity to use the nurturing love of the soul to nurture growth in the personality and growth in society and growth in the larger trends of human unfoldment. So our purpose is to fill the cup of life with the divine and share it with ourselves, with our friends, with everybody else that we know, share it in whatever way seems to make sense. And let the major determinant of our life be the impulse to grow, the impulse to learn, the impulse to enrich life. And as we express affection towards other and goodwill and compassion and learn to forgive, we're establishing rhythms which meet with the approval of the soul. So we become a nurturing force. The rhythms of life express themselves best through rhythmic expressions of affection and benevolence and kindness and goodwill. And we become an influence on the life around us. We become, you know, look at these last three cards. The last four cards starting with the Six of Swords. But look at the sun. It's radiant. It's radiating all over the place. The Queen of Cups, radiant, nurturing love, caring for others. And the Ace of Cups, there's the sun popping up out of the cup, radiant. So the whole point here is we've come from the Two of Cups where we've learned to bring tick and tock into equilibrium and balance. We've discovered poise, and in that poise, the soul is then able to imprint through us and express light and love and power and whatever joy in a rhythmic fashion. So it's not just a one-time deal, it's a constant rhythmic expression. And this is the way we control the personality, through the expression of rhythm, the law of rhythm. And then we come to the final card, the Ace of Cups. This is reaching the point where our receptivity, our resonance with the soul is so perfect that the perfect rhythm always rules. And whether it's a question of the breath we inhale and exhale for our health, or whether it's creative ideas, we are able to through rhythm, work with whatever force we are confronted with and is available to us without breaking down our system. Now, this is an important point because, as I think some of you know, if, for example, a wide-eyed but fluffy-headed aspirant decides, oh, they're going to spend their 8 hours a day concentrating on getting the kundalini to rise up their spine, the spiritual force they contact can unnerve them, can destroy their moorings, and they end up insane. And that's not an exaggeration, because they have not integrated the power that they contact into their system. So what they need is a major dose of rhythm, but they can become so disoriented that there's absolutely no way they can now go back and repair the damage done. The damage has made the receptivity to rhythm almost impossible. So it's this rhythm, this resonating, this vibrating in turn in response to the rhythm of the soul that is so important to making us a fit receptacle or vehicle for the life of the soul. Okay, I'm going to pause there and entertain comments and questions. Rose.
DK in one of the blue books talks about learning to stand poised, untouched, uninfluenced, and free.
Uh-huh.
And is this an example of creating a rhythm to protect us then from negativity? Is that
absolutely
what he's talking about?
Absolutely. Here's the way that works is that the average person is constantly being buffeted around. Somebody says, "Where's that report? You were supposed to have it here yesterday." Blah 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 blah. Yada yada yada. Well, that's hardly a calm, rhythmic, serene kind of thing. And the average person goes, "Oh," and becomes unglued, you see. They allow the tick to overwhelm their talk. See? And so it's no longer in balance, in equilibrium. As we build up our strength and poise, we're able to handle that and say, "Oh, well, I happen to have it right here. I've kind of figured you'd ask for it today." And but more to the point, you know, people drive themselves almost crazy thinking, "What's my purpose in life? Am I blah 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 blah?" Well, it's like in the movie last night. Rodrigo needed that penance. He needed to suffer tremendously, dragging that crap around with him before he thought he was worthy to walk among men again. And it worked. That's a little bit extreme, but that's the games people play with themselves. He could have taken a quicker course to the soul and the redemption of the soul, but not in his imagination. So he'd create a world in which only dire penance would allow him to get back on the straight and narrow. We do this sort of nonsense all the time in all kinds of minor little ways. We let ourselves be overwhelmed. We get out in traffic and we say, get moving, blah, blah, blah. And we're constantly putting ourselves at odds with the obvious rhythm of life around us. The moment we decide not to relax and go with the flow, but rather to see what it means to work creatively with that rhythmic pattern, it may very well be that we learn to impose our own rhythm, which then suddenly everybody chills out and mellows and says, how can I help you? How can I help? And instead of fighting City Hall, you learn to harness its power. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's the charm of the law of rhythm. And we, you know, everybody has to work it out for themselves, but we don't waste time fighting against a rhythm imposed by the soul. Yes, we must dominate the rhythms of daily life so that the soul can take charge and be the dominating force, but we don't resist the domination of the soul. Other comments or questions?
Carl, I can't remember if you had mentioned in Walden Ultra or if it was 2 weeks ago in this class, but it was something about how important it is for children to figure out how to manage life or how to work with these concepts. And so tonight it's reinforcing that for me. I've been thinking about that the last week, and I like the idea of the patience and finding the rhythm as a way of really bringing out your best.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's, again, to go back to the Thoreau statement, marching to the sound of a different drummer, that different drummer is the soul. It is the drum beat of growth. It is the cycle set in motion by the impulse to grow. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Anybody else? Well, tick-tock, we're done. I thank you all, and we'll do this again in a couple of weeks. That's it. Good night.